Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dr. J.
Good day to you.
How are you, sir?
Quite good, thank you.
Fantastic.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a fantastic afternoon, and I do hope that you are having a good day and a relaxed one.
Good day, yes. Relaxed?
No.
I wish.
man.
Today I'm coming to you from the Dolphin Coast.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful place.
Trying to wind down the day's business.
Wow.
And I'll be making my way up shortly.
That's a beautiful place, Master. I must say, it's a fantastic, fantastic place.
I love it here. Yeah.
Oh, man. I now wish I was there.
Yep.
No, that's good, man. So, we are going to be talking about management vis-a-vis leadership. And, you know, there's a growing perception that management and leadership are synonymous, which is actually far from the truth. And so today we want to explore the distinct differences between a leader and a manager and learn how they can be most effective in the success of a team or an organization. Now, Pastor, what would you say then are similarities between leadership and management?
Well, leadership, the metaphor I would use for it for myself is somebody who stands in front. Think of a shepherd, but not in our sense. Maybe from the east, the Near East, where the shepherds, they walk in front of the flock, and the flock follows them. And that's why you would hear Christ saying, "My sheep hears my voice, and when I call on them, they follow." So it's somebody who moves from the front, pulls people. I'll again use another word in a metaphoric figure of speech way. So they lead by example. They show the direction. And those that are being led follow voluntarily. So what we see there, it's leading by influence, getting followership by influence. The people are followers. So that kind of leadership sometimes needs appointment or election or even being hired to provide it. But it also has a way of becoming a reality even amongst people who do not hold office. You'll find in group dynamics there's the elected leader and then there is a leader. And people are likely to follow a leader more than if you compare a leader who is just a leader because they are very influential, more than the one who's using position power to gain followership. Yes. Now, when it comes to managers, managers are people who make sure there's adherence to policy and so on. So they don't pioneer new experiences for the people that they lead. And they tend to be intolerant because they foster compliance. And sometimes that compliance is unpleasant. And but they have no regard for that. Their focus is on productivity. So if you had a manager who's also a typical manager, a manager who's not a leader, there, if you came to work, for instance, and you have a toothache, or you arrived late and you said, "My child had a toothache, I had to attend to them before I came to work," they will tell you, "Oh, but this is work here."
Yeah.
You can't bring your family things here.
True.
But a leader, even if they hold a management position, they'll be compassionate. And that's where the story of servant leadership comes in. You will never have servant management. Mm, no. It's not gonna work that way. But you can have a servant leader, or put differently, a compassionate leader.
Mm. Yeah.
So if we were to go to Psalm 23, he leadeth me to green pastures. He doesn't send me to green pastures. Yes.
Yeah.
You might want to consider a thought raised by one author who says, why firstborns lead the world,
oh,
and lastborns change the world.
Ah, wow. That's it.
But put differently, is that, and that's a different subject altogether.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to do with the leadership style. Firstborns tend to be managers, maintainers of policies, with no much focus to the human beings that are affected by these policies and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the middle children and lastborns it's been scientifically observed that they tend to be compassionate leaders, but they are also willing to ask questions about policy. So they would ask questions, how does this policy affect those that it is applied upon? How does it affect the human beings in this company or in these congregations and so on? Whereas those who use management style of leadership, a policy is a policy. They don't even have to know the background of the policy, what informs the policy. They just apply it,
yeah,
whether it hurts people or not.
Hmm. Yeah, quite a mouthful, yeah. I must say, there, Pastor. Now, what can be developed between the two? I know that with leadership, sometimes, yes. I mean, you did say that some of these people are not elected, so they are born. With management, I think you can be taught management. Can you also be taught leadership? I think it's.
I believe it can be developed.
Developed, yes.
Yes, and if we talk about born leaders, in as much as I spoke about the sibling order and how it affects the way we do life,
mm-hmm.
you'll realize that although we can correctly say that firstborns are likely to be leaders, to use the leadership approach, compliance and so on, and maintenance of order. It's not an inborn thing. There is no such a thing as a born leader.
Ah.
It is how the individuals were raised.
Okay.
So it's environmental. It's not innate. It's not in the genes.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's got to do with what people were exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And that so we can call it training.
Mm.
If we will, we can call it training, although it would not have been formal.
Mm-hmm.
Just a living example.
Right.
When firstborns or the older siblings are born to their parents, first their parents are new parents.
Mm-hmm.
They are new in the parenting sphere.
Yes.
And they are preoccupied with raising perfect children. So they are likely to emphasize compliance with the norms to their firstborns.
Mm-hmm.
And once there are second and third borns and so on, the parents are going to say, set a good example. What do you think your younger siblings are going to learn from you when you do like this and when you do like that? So they are reinforcing the issue of compliance with the norms and stuff. And they grow up, they are being made to be deputy parents as well, to have the burden of leading, setting examples by compliance. But you and I would notice but that by the time two or three births later, those children are able to ask, but why, Daddy? And then you say, because I'm your dad, I'm telling you. And my experience in my own family, and I've observed with others, the child will ask again, but why do I have to do that just because you are a daddy?
Yes.
They ask very innocently. So they ask these questions, they want to get answers. Whereas older children or firstborns, they would not have been permitted that idea, that level to engage parents at that time. You disrespectful child, before they finish asking the second follow-up question, they would have been silenced with a slap in the mouth. So these ones whom the parents, we would say they are a little bit more tolerant, more accommodating, their ability to ask questions about the establishment, they are reinforced, and their voices are not silenced. So even when they go out there in the world, if you hire them to hold a supervisory or a management position, they are going to study the policies of the companies and call the employer to explain where is the company coming from with this, what informs this policy, and so on. Has it worked over the years? And that way, when they go to implement it with their subordinates, they will be also willing to hear their subordinates out and allow for input. So, and that makes the bringing about change in an organization possible, because questions are allowed, contributions are permitted, and that's leadership. That's leadership. It's not management.
Now, before I let you go, Pastor, I want to check then, can a good leader be a bad manager or vice versa?
Oh, yes. That one, that's a good one. If we were to first realize that we all are leaders, all of us, because research indicates that we have any human being, including somebody struggling with alcoholism, I don't want to put labels here, or somebody struggling with drugs, and somebody successful and so on. We all have a minimum of 15 people who look up to us. And that's the power of influence. Whether we are good or bad, whether what we are doing is good. I mean, there are people who are more willing to live in the streets because they have seen other people go and live in the streets instead of living with their families. If we were to remove all people from the streets, the chances are it will take a lot longer to have new people fill our streets. So we all have the power of influence, but we can misuse it. We can harm people. We can be bad managers even as leaders. But leaders who are doing their leadership well are likely to be good at management, depending on who's looking at it. If somebody, the gatekeepers, let's look at church situations, you'd have gatekeepers who want to maintain the traditions and want to make sure there is no parting away from umgwaqo uthi. I don't know if I pronounce that word well. So a good leader will allow for the people's input and allow people the space to question. But a conservative observer will say this is a bad manager of our systems. But if you look at the people, look at the, that leadership style or that management style from the perspective of the beneficiaries of that style, they'll say, we have a good leader here. And they will support them. But yes, we can have cruel managers. Okay, I need to rephrase that. We can have influential people who have a following, but they don't have the stewardship gift of overall management of the assets and the wealth, including the human wealth of the people that they are given charge over. And this could be because, not because they are bad people, but because of other things that have happened in their lives. And they may come and bleed on people. So I'm phrasing it this way to say that sometimes before we judge people as bad people, we bad leaders or bad managers, besides the question of the style itself, we may be having people who are coming into leadership position with lots of wounds on them and scars, and that's going to affect the people that they are leading. Think of somebody who has the position, who went to school, worked hard, got trained in management, including leadership, as there's emphasis on that these days, even at academic platforms. But if they didn't find healing for their wounds, they still are going to harm people whom they lead. And that is why these days, when once you do your post-grad and so on, if you are going to be working with people, there's emphasis on counseling and therapy for the person who's going to be in leadership, helping them to be human again so that they don't go and spread their harm on people.
Well, Pastor, thank you so much. I hope that you're going to be enjoying the time that you're having in the Dolphin Course, the Hermanas, right? I think it is. Have a fantastic one, and it has been a fantastic, fantastic conversation with you. Thank you. Thank you so much, and travel safely.
Thank you very much for having me, and all blessings to you and your listeners in your ministry and those who are supporting your ministry. God bless.
Blessings. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.